This morning, I pray that you speak through me. Lord, take over this sanctuary this morning. Let your spirit fill this place. Open the heart of everyone. And Lord, don't let us go home the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's quickly have a seat. Good morning, everyone. How was your week? Wonderful. Wow, we've been enjoying a good weather, so please enjoy it before it starts to get cold. Okay, so let's go into our word this morning. I'll be speaking about what I titled, What's in His Mind. That's the title of my message this morning. What's in His Mind? If you are opportune to meet an elderly individual and you ask them, what do you have in mind for your kids? You hear something like, I want them to be happy. Maybe with excellent career, with a very nice and good spouse, for them to have a very, very godly children. And in short, they will talk about something like, I want them to be happy. If you ask any elderly individual, like grandmothers, grandfathers, that's what they will have in their mind for their kids. But if you meet the same elderly individual at the point of death, let's assume like you go to the hospital bed and they are at the point of dying, especially maybe 5 minutes to dying, and you ask the same person, what do you have in mind for your kids? You might hear something like, I want them to love the Lord. I want them to probably accept Jesus into their lives, love Jesus dearly, and serve Him with all their strength. That's what you will hear. You won't hear something like, oh, I want them to be happy. Oh, I want them to have a very nice spouse and kids. So, if we're talking about what is in your mind, or what is in my mind, most of the time we talk about what is in our mind at the point of knowing that I might not be able to be here again to share this. I might not be able to see this person again. So let me quickly tell them how I feel. I want you guys to come together, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and power. So, what is the definition of the mind? We can go to the second slide. So, I'll define it as something you constantly and consciously think about. Your conscious intention over any subject matter, something that you actually have in mind. You, even as you're sitting now, you might not even be able to get to that point yet of knowing what you have in mind. But as we continue this discussion, you'll be able to know what you might have in mind and what is in the Lord's mind for us. So most of the time, our real mind over any issue might not be revealed until when we realized we might not be able to be here, or we might not be able to share this again. I'm just trying to mention this again so that we get this message clearly. And look at history. Look at the history over time, and over time you find out most people at the point of their death, they ask families to come around and they tell them, please, you,
can see my life. I've done this. Please go through this path. And that is when you'll be able to know what they have in mind. And that is what I called what's in your mind. So third slide, let's talk about Joseph in the scriptures. Let's talk about Joseph. We all know Joseph was sold into slavery. We have many Bible scholars, yes. I won't go over that history anymore. So he was sold into slavery to Egypt. And the Lord eventually took him from prison to the palace and eventually became the prime minister of Egypt. He reigned, you know, in glory and in power. When I was reading this, I was trying to imagine, like, see how he was, like, physically. He lives in a prime minister official building, and he commands everything in Egypt, and no one can lift up their hand or even walk without the command of Joseph in those days. So if you look at Joseph and somebody asks you what is in Joseph's mind when you see him in his glory, you know, he doesn't even look like a Jew anymore. He looks like an Egyptian if you see him. So if somebody asks you what is in Joseph's mind, you would think, oh, he's having fun. He's enjoying this position. He loves it in Egypt. He loves it here. But in Genesis chapter 50, verse 24 to 26, I believe it's there. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying. But God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. Can you just imagine that? So Joseph's mind was not in Egypt at all. His mind was with his people. Though he was there, like reigning in power, in glory, majesty, and honor, his mind is with the people of God. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. If you go further in the scriptures, you find out how Joseph born was taken out of Egypt by Moses and the crew when they were leaving Egypt. Praise the Lord. So let's talk about David's mind. What about David's mind? David charged Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, and Keretite and the Pelethites to take Solomon to Gion. So he charged these people. These are, like, you know, in his cabinet, people that have a kind of very, that occupied a very high positions, that whatever secrets David have access to as a king, they also have access to it. So he charged them, please take Solomon to Gion and anoint him as king over Israel with the oil from the sacred tent. He charged them to set Solomon on a mule with trumpets and with a lot of people. So they shouted, long live the king Solomon, and the ground shook with the sand. So if you look at David at this time and ask him, David, what do you have in mind concerning your son Solomon? If you ask somebody like Zadok, the priest, and Nathan, they might think, he loves him so much. He just gave everything to him. You know, David has many sons. That maybe he loved him so much and gave everything to him. I just want him to be enjoying. Zadok might say something like, he blessed Solomon with all that he has, everything that he has. But let's read 1 Kings 2, 1 to 5. Now the days of David drew near that Ishu died, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of the heart. Be strong. So this is David's mind for Solomon. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Next slide. That the Lord may fulfill his word, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to the way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. So that was everything that David has in mind for Solomon. It's more than, oh, you are a king, oh, you are in the mule, people are shouting, there's a lot of horses and chariots and soldiers following you. It's more than this, son. This is not a joke. You have to be strong. You have to keep all the commandments of God. You have to prove yourself a man. And he only mentioned this or said this to Solomon when he gets to the point of dying. So this morning, I'm talking about Jesus' mind for his church. What is in Jesus' mind for us? If you read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, read about how Jesus healed the blind, the lame, the deaf. You know, he raised up the dead, feed the multitude, and performed extraordinary miracles before all the multitudes. Church, I want you to imagine this the way I imagined this in my mind as I was preparing for this message. He did so many works that even in the scriptures, most everything that he did cannot be recorded. Before the multitude, he preached, showed mercy, prayed for the sick, healed the blind, did a lot of works. And to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees, Jesus answered all their hard questions in the temple. You know, and to some, he showed them the way of salvation. And to the disciples, he answered all their questions. He explained parables to them. You know, he spent time one-on-one with them, discipling them. Even at a point, he took three of them to the mountain top, and he revealed to them who he is, that I'm the Son of God. It was transfigured. He taught the disciples how to also lead other disciples. He did all these things. But do you know that what Jesus has in mind is more than that for us? Is more than miracles, is more than healing. What he has in his mind that made him to come from his glory down to us, live among us as humans, died, you know, crucified, is more than all that. So, after resurrection, the third day, And Jesus appeared to them on the street to his disciples, letting them understand everything that has happened. Everything that has occurred, he was explaining to them one by one, you know, appear to somebody on the street, show himself to some people in a place. Okay, Thomas, look at my hand, put your finger there. Did all that. And when it get to the point of him ascending, I want you to listen carefully, church. In Matthew 16:15, and we're going to read together his New King James Version. So I will read, and he said to them, and you just finish the remaining line. Because that is what the Lord have in mind for us as a church. So I'm going to go. 1, 2. And he said to them, okay, so let's do this like with minutes. You understand? Okay, we're going to go again. Like, let's do it like we know what we're saying. Okay. And he said to them, so Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I, Jesus, have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Please, church, I want you to, we're going to read this again because I want it to, the same way, like when I was reading this and I was preparing for this, the same way it came to my mind that this is it. This is it. Like every other things, like, you know, thank God that I'm saved. If anything happened to me today, I'm going to heaven, secured. But what about others? The reason why the Lord did this for us is not, it's more than just, I have a good family, a beautiful wife, praise the Lord. I have nice kids, praise the Lord. But it's more than that. I have a nice career, good. It's more than that. It's helping me every day in my spiritual life. It's more than that. I come to church every Sunday. I make sure every Sunday I'm here. It's more than that. I read my Bible, wake up in the morning and pray, spend time with the Lord. It's more than that. Jesus wants every one of us to go and preach. I don't know how you're going to do it, but that is what he has in mind for you and me. So when we're talking about, if you don't remember anything today that we talk about, I want you to remember go. 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 I have to go. I have to go. So when we're talking about go, you need to surrender your life to Jesus. See, the discussion we're having today is not for those that are not born again yet. You can't be part of people that go. Because Jesus talked about that, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So Jesus must have commanded you to do some things before you can share those things to others. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he must have tell you some things that you also now have to tell others. So you have to surrender your life to Jesus. You have to constantly study God's word to understand his commands. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to reside in you. You have to understand God's plan and purpose for your life. Why am I saved? Why? No. When You gave your life to Christ. When I gave my life to Christ, there were so many people there that listened to the same message. And I got saved. And others, they didn't get saved. So why did he choose to save me? So you have to understand that. You have to prepare to be led by the Holy Spirit always. And as we're doing this morning, this is the Broadway family. You have to just desire to live life and grow up together with believers in Jesus. As we, you know, some of us, we have our home groups that we attend. For us living in Sherbourne, we meet in June's house. You have to set up. You can't just live alone by yourself. You have to be part of a group of families within the church, within where you live, to study God's word and understand his command. And after all this, you have to be ready to lead other disciples. After you've been discipled, you have to be ready to lead others. And that will help you to be able to go. Church, I'm charging us today that we must be ready to go into our families. No, we have to start from our families. My brothers, my siblings, you have to start from there. Praying for them. Jesus, open their eyes to see you. The same way you've opened my eyes, I don't know how, but I just love you so much. I can't let you go now. The same way, Lord, open the eyes of my brothers, my sisters, and finding a way to speak to them about Jesus. So you have to go into your families. We have to thank God for summer now. We don't have any excuse. Oh, it's too cold. I can't get out. Now it's not too cold. You can walk around anyhow. We have to decide to go into our neighborhood. You don't have to wait for any plan or any programs or anything to be planned by anyone, by yourself. You have to set your mind to go into your neighborhood, to your city, to your province, to your nation, and to the whole world. See, some are called to even go beyond where we are. That's why we have missionary in Guatemala. We have someone, EJ, in Toronto. Some might not be called to do all that. That's why we have the knitting group. They knit stuff and send it to someone in Toronto to preach. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to find your spot. There's every spot available for everyone. For everyone. If you can't travel, you can walk around your street. If you can't walk around your street, you can stay inside your house and do something. So, as we move forward in the months to come, in the years to come, in the International Missions Office, we hope that everyone in the church will be part of what the Lord is doing now. We're talking about go. By partnering with, we have so many families in the church, individuals that have missions in their minds. You know, we have the Samaritan Post that we always get involved in every year. We have some people going to Ukraine, some Guatemala. And we have even local missions around us here in Orangeville. So we want everyone to be prayerfully involved. Please pray for your missionaries. Pray for people that are going abroad. Praying for people that are not even going anywhere, that are just within the local settings right here. Be financially involved. Donate towards all missions. So today we have the Samaritan Post outside. That is the best way to start. The shoebox. We have it outside. Please, we're not forcing anyone, but we want you to think about this. Those shoebox can save a life. And that life might be the one to save his or her generation. So myself, Cindy, my wife, we're going to be outside there after the church to answer any questions that you might have. Please let me involved. Let's teach our children, our teenagers, how to be involved in going. We need to set all these examples. We need to set all these examples by leading them every time to do this. Next year, by God's grace, we're going to Guatemala again. And please keep this in mind. And the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's bow down our heads as we're going to pray. As I said earlier, everything we're talking about will not make sense or be useful to you if you're not born again. Born again means someone that has surrendered his or her life to Jesus and have made up their minds to follow him no matter what. So please, if you're here this morning or this afternoon and you are yet to make this decision, as you bow down your head right now, I want you to just pray to God and ask him to come into your life. Ask him to come to your life. Pray that the Lord forgive you all your sins. And just affirm that you are ready to walk with him now. Please, as we bow down our heads and all eyes closed, please, I would just like you to take a bold step before the Lord, that, Lord, I just love you, by just standing up. Lord, I love you, and I'm ready to surrender my life to you. Just stand up on your feet, because we have a Bible that has some information that we want to give to you. And as a church, we would like to welcome you to the family of God.